Political TV is on the rise. Saturday Night Live just earned its highest Nielsen ratings in 24 years. In February, Fox News saw its primetime viewership up 31% from a year ago. And shows like Rachel Maddow and The Colbert Show are spiking in the ratings and seen as a place for the anti-Trump crowd to come together. By contrast, Jimmy Fallon's numbers are falling. Politics aren't exactly Fallon's bread and butter, and by his own account, he still hasn't bounced back from an interview he did back in September. In that interview, Fallon ruffled Trump's hair and was accused of helping to humanize the controversial candidate.
Donald, I want to ask you, because the next time I see you, you could be the president of the United States. I just wanted to know if there's something we could do that's just not presidential, really, or something that we can do now that we're just both civilians. Like...
like what? This is... I'm not liking the sound of this. Go ahead.
Could I mess your hair up?
And we want to hear from you about this. Are you watching more old-fashioned broadcast TV than before the election to get the latest on politics? Or is it maybe because you want catharsis or a place to see your point of view reflected? Maybe just a sense of community? And is all this political TV good for us, or is it just another version of the echo chamber? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Eric Deggans joins us now. He's the TV critic for NPR. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, in your own words, how would you summarize the trends that we're seeing right now in political TV?
Well, it's interesting because one thing we shouldn't lose sight of is that everybody who is talking about politics and news is seeing their audience go up. Trump makes so much news every day, and the reaction to some of the things he's done and the various investigations and all kinds of permutations of political news coming out of Washington, D.C., we're joking that at 5:30 every day, you know, in our offices, we wait around to see what the story of the day is going to be, because something is bound to happen towards the end of the day that will obliterate anything that came before. And so part of this, I think, is that people are flocking to platforms where they can find out what happened and they can also process what happened. So when I look at Jimmy Fallon, for example, not doing as well in the ratings as Colbert, part of what I think is going on there is that Fallon's not really talking about politics, and when he talks about politics, he does it in a very sort of genial, non-committal kind of way. Isn't Trump silly? Isn't Washington silly? And people are seeing all of these sort of landmark events come out of Washington. They're looking for a way to process that. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of concern. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of confusion. And Colbert is channeling that, and he is processing that in real time for his audience. And Jimmy's not doing that. And so I don't know if it's necessarily that Colbert is critical of Trump. I think it's more that he's talking about what's happening now, and he's talking about it in a way that's relevant for his audience. And Fallon's not doing that. I would say the same thing about The Daily Show and Seth Meyers' Late Night. And the ultimate beneficiary of this, of course, is Saturday Night Live, which I think has really done a great job of coming up with parodies of White House officials that really get at what we find absurd about them, what we find questionable about them, what we find laughable about them, and then blowing that up into these skits that are really telling about our modern political moment. And that's ultimately what we really demand from the best satire out there.
And you mentioned Stephen Colbert. You see him as someone who's sort of helping process things. He has had a very sharp point of view to the point that the FCC is looking into him. And we have a little clip, a sampling of what viewers have been seeing from Stephen Colbert.
Mr. Trump, your presidency, I love your presidency. I call it disgrace the nation. You're not the POTUS. You're the BLOTUS. You're the glutton with the button. You're a regular gorge, Washington. You're the president.
Stephen Colbert there. And you said Saturday Night Live, also the beneficiary of this. So do you see this, Eric, as listeners wanting to see their point of view reflected, sort of, you know, how Facebook has been accused of having being an echo chamber for people who have similar points of view. Is that what you see happening? Or are people just wanting a guide through this super saturated news period that we're in?
Well, the first thing I would point out is that whenever someone from the general public complains about a broadcast, the FCC has to look into it. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Colbert is getting any extra scrutiny. It just means that he said something that prompted enough complaints from viewers that the FCC has to do what is not a particularly unusual sort of review of what he said to make sure it doesn't violate their guidelines, which are really about saying things that involve bodily functions and stuff like that. So I don't think he's in any danger, and I also don't think this review really means much. But beyond that, I've always had this pet theory that different kinds of media platforms attract people who might have different political persuasions. So it seems like the late night comedy audience is predominantly liberal, because the only shows that seem to do well in that space are shows that advocate sort of an openly liberal point of view. I would say talk radio is a space, for example, where conservative thought does really well. That's why Rush Limbaugh is there. That's why Sean Hannity is there. That's why Michael Savage is there. So I would say part of this is that the space is already dominated by liberals. But I also think part of this, as I said before, is that people are wanting to keep up with what's going on, and they're wanting to process it. So we look at the ratings for Fox News, for example. Fox News's ratings have also gone down a bit. I mean, they've gone up, but they haven't gone up as much as their competitors, CNN and MSNBC, especially recently. And recently, Fox News has really not talked about the news of the day that much, because it's so detrimental to the prospects of Donald Trump, and they're very openly advocating for him these days. So people are tuning to Fox News. Even regular viewers of Fox News are tuning in to find out what happened in the Comey investigation, or find out when he's going to testify before Congress, or find out what's going on with the latest allegations about what Trump may or may not have said about Israel providing intelligence that was revealed to the Russians. And if Fox isn't talking about it, then those viewers wind up going somewhere else to find out about that information. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're liberal. It means they want the information, and the source that they normally turn to is maybe not talking about it. So I would be careful about making too many generalizations about the political allegiances of the audience. I think it's I think some of that is happening, but I think some of this is also just about people trying to get a sense that they're getting a fair analysis of what's going on, and also that people are talking about what they're concerned about. And if they're not talking about what they're concerned about, they're going to turn to a place where that discussion is happening, even if it's a place where they might not totally agree with the political outlook of the person who's guiding the discussion.
We're talking to Eric Deggans right now about the rise of political TV. He's a TV critic for NPR. And let's take a call now. We've got Chris joining us in Sun Prairie. Chris, hi.
Hey, great topic. And I got to say, you know, I liked TV before the election, and it was interesting to see the differences between the broadcasts. But I went back to my old routine. I listened to Morning Edition on the way to work. I listened to Rush Limbaugh on lunch and Central Time on my way home. That's all the in-depth information I need, and I can process and filter out the gunk from both sides in that routine.
Chris, thanks a lot for that. Chris has a routine there that he's got. He's sticking to it. It sounds like it was all radio. He's not doing a lot of TV, but it does make you wonder, though, if we might be getting to a burnout point at some point. Do you see that happening, Eric, where people are less interested?
Well, I don't know. I think people would get less interested if things didn't keep happening. But we saw last week, I mean, you know, so many things were happening so quickly, so many revelations, so many bombshell reports, that to keep up with it, you really do have to engage with some sort of media outlet just to make sure that you know what's going on, if you want to stay informed. I mean, the twists and turns that the allegations against the Trump administration about, you know, the investigation into the campaign's possible ties to Russian interference, like, that has taken so many twists and turns over the past week that if you wanted to stay even moderately informed, you had to at least engage with some media outlet once a day just to download what might have happened. I would urge people, I'm urging people at this moment, and I'm sort of going beyond, you know, the moment where we have so much news happening. I'm urging people to broaden their media diet more and to also step back a little bit from the more contentious and conflict-laden platforms that are out there, specifically cable news and specifically social media. These are platforms that sort of thrive on conflict. And so after a few hours of watching CNN or Fox News or, you know, debating people on Twitter or Facebook, you can be very upset. It can unsettle you quite a bit, and it can make you feel as if the times maybe are worse than they actually are. So I think the key now is for people to learn how to moderate the media that they're taking in and be careful about watching this stuff too much. Because there's so many changing stories and there's so many breaking stories that it's it's seductive. You know, it's very tempting to just turn on CNN and constantly watch it and constantly react to every fresh news story that pops up.
We're talking now with Eric Deggans. He stays with us. He's a TV critic for NPR. And we're looking at sort of the heyday that we're seeing right now for political TV from shows like The Rachel Maddow Show. Fox News has had ratings go up. Eric says they've been modulating a little bit since then. We're also seeing Saturday Night Live, seeing a golden era. And we want to know about you. Are you watching more political TV? Are you seeking it out? And what do you like? Is it informing your point of view? Is it helping you make a decision, or is it just entertaining you, or maybe entertainment plus politics? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page, and we'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
What I have here is a copy of Donald Trump's tax returns. We have his federal tax return for 1 year, for 2005. I believe this is the only set of the president's federal taxes that reporters have ever gotten a hold of. What we have are these two pages, front and back, from the same 1040 form that you might have filled out when you file your taxes. And in terms of what's on here, let me give you the basics. Aside from the numbers being large, these pages are straightforward.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Eric Deggans is with us from NPR, where he's the TV critic. And we're talking about the growing popularity of political TV, TV like The Rachel Maddow Show. We just heard a clip from one of her highest watched shows. And we want to hear from you on this. Are you doing more of this? Are you watching more of this sort of old-fashioned appointment TV, maybe cable news, Saturday Night Live, Fox News? And are you watching for solidarity or information? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's take a caller now. We've got James joining us from Linden Station. James, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, for your guest, what he thought about millennials viewing media and TV, because I have a lot of peers that, and myself, that don't think they view TV in the traditional sense. We kind of go on websites and view, I guess, kind of what we want, but we also stay informed with more neutral websites instead of kind of biased, like Fox or CNN.
And so, James, let me ask you, so it sounds like you're still doing your internet thing. You're not switching over to TV. Is that right?
I do every once in a while, but it's more what I've noticed that, like, at university and colleges, that a lot of people, a lot of my peers and students don't really traditionally get cable anymore, that they usually stick to internet. So with that, I feel it's less of the surfing and the full watching of the 24-hour networks and just viewing clips.
James, thanks a lot for that call. And James is a millennial, and he wants to know what other millennials are doing. Are they surfing, or are they also tuning into broadcast TV?
Well, I was interested in asking him. He talked about nonpartisan websites that he feels like his contemporaries are consulting, and I'd be interested in learning what they are, because I'm not so sure that people are all that great at discerning what the political leanings are of the websites that they're consulting. And, you know, I do a lot of speaking at colleges, and one of the things I'm always telling students is click the link. You know, when you see something on Twitter, you see something on Facebook, you see something on another platform, perhaps Instagram or Snapchat, you know, don't just take the headline at face value. Click the link and find out where the story came from. And that will give you a sense of maybe the motives of the platform in presenting that story to you the way they have presented it. I don't think enough people do that, and I think they often feel like they're getting news from a source like, quote-unquote, Facebook, when really they're getting it from a highly partisan news site that, frankly, may just be partisan because it's a money-making venture, and it's a way to monetize clickbait stories. My sense is that there's a lot of millennials who wait until a moment becomes a viral video, and then they'll consume it. So Stephen Colbert does something outrageous, and then it becomes a viral video, and then it will reach them later. They won't see it when it happens. They won't watch the show in its entirety. They'll wait until that clip is distributed on other social media platforms, and then they'll consume that. And maybe they'll get the context of what he was doing, and maybe they won't. That's the problem and the challenge, I think, for reaching millennials, is that a lot of times their media consumption is these flashes of media moments that break through the clutter for one reason or another, but you don't necessarily get the context that comes with them. And that's always been my concern. But I've also seen, particularly with people in college, kids in college, students in college, they are the children of their parents. So they will take the political ideologies that they've learned in their neighborhoods, in their homes, and bring them to college often. So even though there may be some sense that these students are trying to find new ways of consuming media, they are doing it with sort of a political worldview that's been shaped by their parents and in their home.
Well, James, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate that. And let's move on next to Judy in Bayside. Judy, hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to listen to this particular subject matter, because I felt like I am the only one that spends my evening watching all three channels, the CNN, MSNBC and Fox News, and I flip back and forth, but lately there's nothing to watch on Fox. They're just not, don't seem to be addressing any of Donald Trump's issues, and I just can't understand why. If they have a point of view, I don't understand why they aren't expressing it.
So, Judy, why are you flipping, Judy? Because you want to make sure you get diverse perspectives? Is that?
Well, yes. I am a liberal, okay, but most of the things that are going on are so shocking to me that I want to find out, is MSNBC exaggerating some of this stuff? I flip over to the other stations to see if they're saying the same thing, and in many cases, Fox is not saying anything, and CNN is kind of saying some of the same things, but not quite as with as much enthusiasm as MSNBC.
Judy, thanks so much for that comment, and Eric, I bet you'll tell Judy to get off the cable TV and start trying some new stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. But just in terms of what Fox is doing, their position in a lot of their opinion shows especially has been to maintain that the stories that are most damaging to Donald Trump don't matter. And what matters is that the information behind the stories was leaked. Classified information possibly may have been leaked to reporters, and that what's important is finding out who is giving this information to journalists so that the White House can stop this unethical leaking. And I think, unfortunately, that position puts them in a situation where they don't really talk about this, the substance of the stories very much, because they're trying to invalidate them. And this tactic, frankly, has kind of surprised me. And I would dare say, I would hazard a guess, I've been watching Fox News for years. If Roger Ailes, the founder of the channel, who recently passed away on Thursday, if he was running Fox News, he never made that mistake of ignoring news that the viewers thought was important. He always found a way to take the news that was in the news cycle and transform it in some way, spin it in some way, so that it would serve the interests of his conservative viewership. And that's a lot different than ignoring the news or trying to pretend it's not happening.
Well, Judy,
I also think Fox News is handicapped by the fact that President Trump has on several occasions gone out and verified parts of the story. Most recently, he is sort of in a backhanded way admitted that the intelligence that he revealed to the Russians came from Israel, which was a big part of the story that was broken last week that advanced this whole question of what did he say to the Russian ambassadors when he met with them in the Oval Office. So part of Fox's problem is that the president keeps confirming parts of these stories that they are trying to say don't matter. But the other part is that they, for some reason, have walked away from this, this expertise that they had, this ability to spin a story that might be damaging to Republicans, but still talk about the substance of the story so their viewers would stay with them.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today. Really appreciate your time and your thoughts.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That was Eric Deggans, TV critic at NPR and the author of the book Race Baiter, How the Media Wields Dangerous Words to Divide a Nation. He joined us to talk about the rise of political TV like The Rachel Maddow Show, MSNBC, and Fox News. And we want to know what you think. Are you watching more political TV? Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.